And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Happy Friday, Wonderlings! Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. How's everyone doing? How's your week been? Mine's been good. I, of course, have Friday off again, which I'm not complaining. I mean, sun's out. It's 40-something degrees here. Eventually, we're going to get back into the 50s, and next week is May. Wow. This year is flying by. Well, since we are approaching May, and this is the next episode in Season 5, I thought, why not go with the sports episode? Season 5, Episode 7, entitled Soccer, which aired on November 20th, 1991. After being cut from the football team, well, yeah, I can see that, Kevin. I can see that very much. Kevin finds out that McKinley High has a soccer team. He signs up for the team, but soon realizes that most of the kids on the team are nerdy and unathletic. And the coach is a legendary former football coach whose best days have passed him. So this guy was a football coach for the McKinley football team, and they just kind of said, hey, you've had a losing season. We're going to get someone else in here to coach. I'm sure we'll find out more about that in this episode. This episode, along with Carol Black and, what's the other dude, person's name on here? Carol Black and Neil Marlins are the creators of the Wonder Years. This episode was also written by Mark Levin, who has done quite a bit of stuff. He wrote 11 episodes of the Wonder Years. Let's see what he did. Mostly seasons 4 and 5, he wrote The Cost of Living, A Very Cutlip Christmas, Denial, The House That Jack Built, and The Wonder Years, which was basically just a giant clip show. He also wrote The Lake, which was a season 5 opener. He wrote this episode, Soccer. He also wrote Grandpa's Car, Of Mastodons and Men, and of course, Back to the Lake, which was the Season 5 finale. Hey, interesting. Season 5, episode 1 is The Lake, and then the season finale is Back to the Lake. Interesting. And this guy is still doing stuff, still writing stuff. Journey to the Center of the Earth in 2008, Nims Island, Wimbledon, with Kirsten Dunst and whatever the heck that blonde-haired dude's name is. Madeline wrote that. Going to Extremes. What the heck is that about? I don't know. Anyway, a couple familiar faces you might recognize in this episode. Bryce Beckham. He plays Nick in this episode. You guys would mostly know him from Mr. Belvedere as a... He plays Wesley Owens, the little youngest son of the Owens family. That's pretty much what he's most relevant for. Paul Dooley, I mostly recognize him from, oh wow, he's been in a, holy moo, he's been a lot, he's still working, and he's still alive. I recognize him as Julia Roberts' dad in Runaway Bride, but he's been in so much other stuff here. Let's give it a little check here. Oh, wow, he was in Bewitched. Wow. He was in 16 Candles, played Molly Ringwald's father. Let's see if there's anything. Oh, let's see what else. 16 Candles. Golden Girls. He's in a couple episodes of that. It's two different people. Oh, he was in Alf? Weezer. That name sounds familiar. Let me go into the info here. I've got a new attitude. Oh, he was season one, season two, and season four. Oh, is that, Alf, Kate's mother's like, husband or soon-to-be husband. Boyfriend and then husband? I think it is. He was on Coach for an episode. Oh, his name is Pops. That must be, like, a nickname. Evening Shade, Ben Stiller Show, Mother of the Bride. He was in, is that a TV movie? My Boyfriend's Back. He was in that movie. Episode of Tales from the Crypt. La La La, My So-Called Life. He was in a couple episodes of that. I think there's a whole hoochie-boochie amount of stuff. Oh my goodness, he was in so much stuff. I'm not going to list it all because there's like almost 200 credits here and we'll be here all day. And I want to talk about Wonder Years. Paul Dooley, it's awesome that you're in this episode. If you guys out there follow the Wonder Years podcast Facebook page or the Instagram page, which is mainly where I do all my Wonder Years stuff, you will see yesterday I posted about the Summer of Savage. I am covering 4 of his movies. I just thought, you know, that would be really cool. It's pretty much primarily between the years of 88 and 89. And I just thought, this is going to be the last summer that I'm doing the Wonder Years podcast, because, you know, this is going to be wrapping up at the end of the year. But I'm going to be reviewing Little Monsters while it's still on Netflix. Some of these movies, the only one I have seen is The Wizard. And that's because Jeremy is a big video game person. So I'm going to do Little Monsters, which has, you know, Fred Savage, Howie Mandel, who I remember, you know, did the voice of Bobby from Bobby's World, and also stars Fred's little brother, Ben Savage, who you all remember as Corey Matthews from Boy Meets World. Also Vice Versa, which also stars Judge Reinhold. It's kind of, this was done so much in the 80s after the movie Freaky Friday. You had a lot of those. Vice Versa with Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold. It's a whole switching minds, bodies thing. Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore also did this, which when I bought Vice Versa on Amazon, it was like $8, and it also included the, like, father, like, son movie. And it's just, there's a lot of those body swap movies. The Wizard, which has Jenny Lewis and, what the hell is that boy's name? Edward something or other. I'm sorry. And the TV movie called When You Remember Me. I've not seen this movie. It just, I think it's inspired by a true story, and it just looks so good. Fred Savage plays a young boy in a wheelchair. I think he has multiple sclerosis or something to do with his legs. And I just thought, we got some comedies, and then we got a dramatic role. And I just think, I want to showcase Fred's work when he was younger on The Wonder Years. Not so much, you know, when he's older and stuff like that. Which, there's nothing against Fred Savage now that he's older and stuff. To me, his shiny moments really, I feel, like when he's younger, like when he was on The Wonder Years and everything. I'm not putting down his acting now that he's an adult and everything like that. I did see him recently on an episode of Modern Family. But I don't know. I just thought it'd be cool. And like I said, the podcast, The Wonder Years podcast, is going to be finishing up. But don't worry, guys. It's not going to be until late fall. Most likely, it's not going to be until close to the end of the year. My goal, pretty much, is after Wonder Years, you guys know I do the Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere podcast that is going to take over, and I'm going to do an episode a week, so 2 characters a month. I'm also going to get more into American Dreams. Right now, it's just been iffy. I have so many things going on. My Punky Brewster podcast is wrapping up in August, and then after that, I will be doing only the first season of Silver Spoons, because it's the only one that's available right now. I cannot find... It's not available on DVD. It's not on YouTube anymore. I kind of missed the boat on that one. Yeah. But even though Silver Spoons will be primarily on the Punky Brewster Punky Power podcast SoundCloud account, I can actually upload the episodes to the Wonder Years. That way you guys can listen to it, or however you want to do it. So, all right, let's jump into the quote for the beginning of the episode. Here we go. Okay. There's one in every high school in America, the trophy case, filled with winged statues and silver-plated victory cups, all monuments to the winning spirit, to team play, to greatness on the field. Not just anyone could get inside that case. You had to be a winner. You had to have determination. You had to have guts. And most importantly, you had to make the cut. That fall of my sophomore year, one thing was clear. No matter how hard I tried, the wide world of sports wasn't wide enough to include me. Face it, I was 5'4" and 110 pounds. What team could I play on? God bless you, Kevin, that you're 110 pounds. I don't know if I'd ever get that weight. My goal is to at least be 125. That is my goal. I'm 5'2". Kevin's got 2 inches on me. Well, I bet anything he's got to be a little taller than that now. So, because when do guys stop growing? They probably stopped growing around, 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there. I stopped growing when I was, 13, 14. And it was sad when I realized I would never be tall like my mom. All right, let's get into this episode. Like the beginning of the quote, we get the hallway of McKinley High School, and we get the trophy case. So we're getting shots of different teams, basketball teams, probably wrestling, stuff like that. I remember in high school, I would pass the trophy case in the hallway, and I would always look and see the picture of my dad with his wrestling team. My dad actually made it. He won second in state of Michigan. And he was voted MVP by his wrestling team, which is really, really awesome. Oh, we get to see Kevin in a football uniform. Oh, this is the only time we'll ever see him play football. I was thinking about this at work yesterday. It just kind of flitted into my mind, what experience in football do you have, son? Oh, well, I play in my backyard. I played football in the park with my buddies a couple years ago. So I have some experience. He's like, all right, good enough. Get out there and show me what you got. I don't know why I was just thinking of that yesterday. So Kevin's there on the field. And, of course, classic inferiority complex, as he imagines the guy on the other team is 10 feet tall and a dang grizzly bear, as the guy towers over him and growls in his face. Did you guys ever notice the cute little freckles on Fred Savage's nose? They're just so adorable. All right, so we got the blue team, which Kevin is on, and the red team, which is the opposing team. So I'm not sure what Kevin's position is. He's not a quarterback, but he's running. And when he's running, he looks like he is so weighed down with that equipment, with the shoulder pads and helmet, that he is actually hunched over. The weight, he is so top shoulder head heavy that he would easily face plant just by trying to run and carry all that weight on him. But he caught that pass, though. I mean, granted, someone came out of nowhere and, pile-drived his ass into the ground, but he caught it. That's pretty fucking good, I'd say. Although, I guess he doesn't make the team, but damn, maybe because they think he's short, he's small, maybe? But what about that Rudy guy from the movie Rudy? He was tiny, too. He was on that team in the end. I saw that movie. Holy shit! I heard a snap. That guy, after he pile-drived Kevin, he took his hand, palming his hand onto Kevin's helmet and, like, smushing his head into the damn ground. Oh my god, I hope he did not do any spinal damage or neck damage. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting sick and fucking tired of these damn calls coming from nowhere. Safe at home. Give me a fucking break and fuck off. I thought it was Meyer calling me about my prescription, saying it's ready. Like, that's why I don't answer my phone anymore, because I know hardly anyone ever calls. And when it does, it's always weird. Like, a number from Colorado. I don't know anyone in Colorado. I sure as hell don't know anyone in Maine. So I don't even answer those calls. I just block them and I delete them. But anyway, it's like, I'm trying to do a podcast here. Leave me the fuck alone unless it's important. All right, I'm going to play this clip between Kevin and the coach. It looks like he is going to get cut because the coach calls him over. And that's my guess is that's what's going to happen. Because the only reason a coach would call you over is to give you a direction, praise you, or tell you that you're doing a shitty job and you're cut from the team. So I'm guessing it's the latter.
Arnold! Over here.
You had to make the cut.
Yeah, coach?
I gave it everything you got today, son.
Thanks. Does that mean I make the team?
You gotta be joking. Hit the showers.
That fall of my sophomore year, one thing was clear. No matter how hard I tried, the wide world of sports wasn't wide enough to include me.
So, of course, the coach says, you did good. Kevin's like, oh, so I made the team, huh? And he's like, fuck no, get out of here, go hit the showers. And as Kevin's hobbling away, two big, beefy guys shoulder check him. And practically knock him off his feet. I notice he's wearing the number 24. I'm like, that's my birthday! The 24th! Ah! He looks so good in a football uniform. I think he's got a band-aid right... Yeah, I think he does maybe have a band-aid right above his eyebrow. So as Kevin's sitting there on the school bus, he gets fucking hit in the face with a soccer ball. And then this is where we see Bryce Beckham, who plays Nick in this episode, kind of come up to him and apologize, like, hey, I'm sorry about that. Sorry? You don't know you're not supposed to be kicking around a soccer ball on a bus full of kids? That's a concussion waiting to happen. Are you fucking kidding me? Kevin looks at the soccer ball and says, what's this? He's never seen a soccer ball before? Are they, like, an absolutely new thing that just... I don't understand. How do you not know what a soccer ball is, Kevin? You don't live on Mars. I'm going to play this clip between the guys as Nick explains what that is and all about soccer.
And that's when it hit me.
Sorry. It slipped away from me.
It's okay. What's this?
It's a soccer ball. Why?
Nothing. I just haven't seen many around.
Keep in mind, this was 1971. Soccer hadn't yet become the national pastime it is today.
So do you play?
Oh, sure. I kick it around a little.
Great.
Actually, I'm on the team.
Call it a revelation.
The team?
The soccer team. We started practice yesterday.
Wait a minute. Our school has a soccer team.
New this year. Pretty cool, huh?
Consider, if you will, the thoughts that ran through my head. A, McKinley High had a team no one knew about. And B, this doofus was on it, which led to C.
Where do you guys practice?
Third Auxiliary Football Field. Down by the brook, through the woods. Why, interested?
D, it was worth a look.
Okay, so Kevin does explain why he doesn't know what a soccer ball is. He says it is 1971, and soccer at that time wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is in today's world. Of course, when he says today's world, he means 1991. He doesn't mean 2018. I think the World Cup is pretty big. Like, really, really big. But Nick kind of tells him that, you know, it's that he's on the team and everything, and they play kind of just away from the school through the woods over a brook. And Kevin's kind of thinking to himself, you know, this is a team, this is a sport that not a lot of people are big on right now. They play way, way away from the school, so even if I suck, no one's going to see me. And he thinks, well, this doofus is on the team, then clearly how bad can it be? I mean, if this guy can get on the team, I don't see why I can't get on the team. So he's just kind of like a low-key sport for him, that at least it's something that he can do. Now, I played soccer one season when I was 14 in 8th grade. It actually wasn't for the school, it was through the YMCA. I remember my dad taking me to get signed up and everything. I remember my face had chocolate all over it from, I think I had like, not a pudding pop, but some type of ice cream thing. And it's just, I'm thinking back on it now, I was like, damn it, I should have been more presentable. Well, as presentable as I could have been. But I only played the one season. I remember getting the soccer ball, like, and during a game, hit me in the back of the head, and I had to sit out for a bit. And I didn't really want to go back in after that. But my grandma actually was the one that drove me to most of the games when she could. My dad actually did come to one game that I remember. And it was nerve-wracking for me. As you know, I was very, very shy. It freaked me out when we had to partner with other people, because of course you do when you're kicking the ball around for practice. It was stressful, and for anyone that's really antisocial and everything, I mean, I don't know looking back on it why I did it. I just thought it was a sport I could do. And I remember, like, my aunt took me shopping to get the necessary stuff that I needed. The soccer cleats, the soccer ball, the long socks that are things that you need, shin guards, and all that stuff. So that was pretty cool. But, and I remember at the end of the season, at the coach's house, both his daughters were on the team. And it was the end of the year, little party, and he was saying stuff about everyone, but when he came to me, he said, you know, it's like, you got, you know, heart and determination, but, you know, that was pretty, it's like he struggled to try to find the best words to describe me, because I definitely wasn't the greatest player in the world, but I just gave it what I could. I remember, I think it was one of his daughters that, like, got hit in the head. Like, kicked in the head when she was going to kick the ball in the net. I remember that. Was it? Anyway. Kevin goes to check this out. So, Kevin's just watching these kids just being really, blah, blah, blah. He just calls them dorks. It's like, this is the team? Are you shitting me? And I think this is the episode, isn't it? Is this the episode where we meet that Chuck guy that later becomes his friend? I don't like Chuck. I don't know. He gnaws on my nerve. It's the winking. It's the snapping of the gum. And he stays a character, I think, at least for season 5, maybe season 6. Like, ugh. Oh, I don't like this guy. Oh, this Chuck guy is trying to bounce the ball off his chest. He's probably watched videos of it or seen it on TV. Well, wait a minute. In 1971, if it wasn't too publicized, how is he knowing to do that? Or is he just doing that himself? I wonder if he's going to try for, like, to headbutt the ball. Because that's a thing, too. I noticed Kevin standing by a tree checking out the team. But it looks, there's like some initials carved into the tree too. So Kevin kind of is watching this, decides, like, you know, this is not for me. This is not what I want. But of course, as he turns to go, someone calls out to him, like, hey, you. Nick's coming over. Okay. Thing you need to know about Nick is he did the whole Trekkie sign thing with his hand. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And he does some funny Star Trek Trek line. I bet if he could, this guy would have started a club for, like, the Trekkies or something in school. I don't know. Can you do your own clubs back then in 1971? Like, kind of create your own little thing? Like, what about, like, the Film Society or Film Club or something like that? Because I bet those other kids probably like the Star Trek stuff. I'm going to play this clip with Kevin and Nick here.
But what I saw when I got there was the biggest collection of dorks since my fourth grade cotillion class, playing on a moth-eaten field that was halfway to Grandma's house. This was definitely not for me.
Hey, you! Glad you showed up.
We're pioneering the Uncharted universe here.
Great.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't think I really fit in.
Why? I think you'd be great. And besides, we're one guy short.
Yeah, well, thanks for telling me about it anyway.
Hey, being on a team was one thing, but playing with these jokers?
Hey, little help? Kick it back!
Wow! Where'd you learn how to do that?
What?
Kick like that.
I don't know. Lucky, I guess.
Yeah, well, not. Superstar.
The amazing thing was, these guys were serious.
So, you gonna join us?
And that's when I realized, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Well, maybe I'll go talk to the coach.
Great. He's over there. Pops McIntyre. Go ahead.
So, Kevin, of course, is very reluctant. It's like, I don't want to be seen with these nerd bombers. And he just turns to go. And Chuck kicks the ball over. He's like, hey, can you kick it back to us? And Kevin kicks it, like, a line drive right through. And Chuck's impressed. And not only him, the other kids are too. Chuck's like, where did you learn to kick like that? And he's like, what? Or they just say, you know, you're really good. And they start to kind of crowd around him. Like, they're really impressed. Like, hey, this guy's got moves better than all of us combined. We could really use him. And it turns out they are one guy short. So they kind of like, hey, do you want to join? Do you want to play with us? And Kevin's like, I could give it a shot. Sure. So, well, Pops McIntyre over there, he's the coach, he's the one sitting there reading the horse races or whatever in the paper. Why don't you go chat it up with him and maybe you can be on the team with us. So Kevin already is kind of getting a big ego as a future superstar and everything like that, which, in a way, if you think about it, Kevin couldn't shine too much with the whole football tryouts thing, but he sees these kids that really aren't that good, and even with him having the basic skills down, he could pretty much totally rock it out there. And all those kids are going to just fall in love with his skills. They already have. So that would be his way to really shine in everything. So Kevin goes over to talk to him, like, hey, Mr. McIntyre. The guy looks at him, he's, hey, you bring my juice. And Kevin's like, no, juice, what the hell? I just met you like a second ago. I don't know anything about this juice. So Pops goes and says, he's like, hot as hell out here, isn't it? It's like, he's eating, wait, no, he's white. That's a cloth. I thought he's eating a sandwich. No, that's a cloth. And I'm like, is he diabetic? He needs juice. I don't know. Anyway, Kevin wants to sign up for the team, and Pops just looks at him like, Why? Why is that? Why do you want to sign up for the team? He's a little skeptical, like this random kid just comes up to him. And I believe, well, they said you were short a guy. I mean, I got some skills I could, you know, show them off on the field if you want to see them. So I'm going to play this conversation between Pops and Kevin.
It was kind of a big moment. The future superstar stepping up to the man who would shape his athletic career.
Coach McIntyre?
The man with all the answers. The man.
You bring my juice.
Who wanted juice.
No.
Hot as hell out here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So, what can I do for you?
Well, actually, I came to sign up for the team.
Why is that?
Obviously, the coach didn't realize he was in the presence of such raw talent.
Well, maybe you saw the way I just kicked the ball over there?
Yeah, I saw it.
On the other hand, this guy didn't just want another hot dogger. He wanted sincerity.
Listen, I don't know that much about soccer, but I'd be willing to learn and give it my best. I just want to be part of the team.
Is that so?
And with that, our bond was forged. The bond of trust, admiration, respect.
So I guess we'll be working together.
Suit yourself. Where's my juice?
About it. It was the dawn of a new era.
So Kevin pretty much goes for the sincerity approach, as he just says, you know, I want to try out for the team. I think I'd be a good asset if you let me, and I can show you what I can do. And Coach is like, we can see it. Go for it. And he kind of walks off shouting about his fucking juice. Like, where's my juice? You boys got my juice. I like how Kevin says, yeah, it looks like we'll be working together then. He's like, yeah, I guess so. And I like how he starts off, like, when he first starts mentioning about that kick. Like, hey, do you see that kick I just kicked out there, the ball? And he's like, yeah, I saw it. Good footwork. I mean, you know that I don't think he was going to let Kevin on the team without Kevin, like, being a little bit sincere, like, I'm not just going to let you on this team. You got to tell me why you want to be on this team. All right, now we're moving back to the Arnold kitchen. Looks like it's din-din time. Norma is at the stove making some yum-yum food. So, Norma is thinking, because she's mentioning about, like, the broom with the little thingy. And Wayne corrects her, like, no, Mom, that's actually curling. What soccer is a bunch of little boys in little boy shorts running around kicking a ball back and forth. So it's good that they're taking interest, especially Norma. I mean, she's always interested in the lives, what her sons are doing, because, well, her life is pretty much the home and the grocery store. And college, isn't she? She's in college currently, I believe. We haven't been hearing really much about her going to school. All I remember is at the end of season 4, she did fill out an application to go to a community college. So hopefully as the season goes on, we will be able to hear more about, you know, her going to school and all that. So Wayne, of course, is back to Wayne 1.0, Dick Wayne, Butthead Wayne, as he's, you know, always teasing Kevin. He's not doing it with a wink this time like he was in Triangle. Jack asks, you know, who's coaching this game? And Kevin says, Pops McIntyre? So I guess Jack's heard of him. Oh, at first he says, nobody. Of course, Norma raises an eyebrow to that. Like, what? Nobody's coaching this team? What? And then Kevin's like, oh, just some old man named McIntyre. And Jack's heard of the guy. Yeah, Jack's heard of him. He's like, Pops McIntyre? And Kevin's like, really? You've heard of him? And Jack's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. He was only the greatest football coach McKinley ever had. And I'm thinking, what the hell happened then? So I'm going to play this clip, the family dinner.
Soccer? Isn't that where they use the brooms to sweep in front of the little thingy?
That's curling, Mom. Soccer's where little boys chase the ball around in shorts and knee socks.
Shut up, butthead.
Well, I'm very proud of you, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
Who's coaching?
Nobody. Nobody? Well, just some old guy named McIntyre.
McIntyre? Pops McIntyre?
You know him?
He was only the greatest football coach the school ever had.
Really?
Sure. Guy was a legend. Yeah, that guy was one hell of a coach. They called him the Bear.
Hard to believe the man my father was talking about was the same Pops McIntyre.
A bear. Always pacing, always growling. He never sat down.
Well, so Jack kind of tells Kevin about Pops the Bear McIntyre being the best football coach that McKinley ever had. And I'm kind of wondering, did Jack kind of grow up in that area of, you know, McKinley? I mean, did he go to McKinley High and then he met Norma and then they were, well, wait a minute. No, because they had to take a plane ride to Norma's parents. I mean, that's going to be coming up in season 6. So Norma didn't grow up there. So what kind of school dance did she meet him at? Okay, I'm confused, but I'm not going to let it get to me. But anyway, he just says, you know, this coach was really good. They called him the Bear because he never sat down. He was always growling. And then, of course, the whole thing about him never sitting down. We see him with his ass planted on the bleachers. He's got his big old gallon of glass prune juice as the soccer ball is been kicked over to his feet. So I'm interested to see what happened and why he's reduced himself to just being a soccer coach who just, he wants something maybe low key. Maybe he lost out on the state championships or the playoffs or the whatever for the football. And maybe he's like embarrassed, so he wants to hide out with the soccer team. Like, this is something low key. These kids are never going to amount to anything with this team. So I can just kind of hide out. He's got a cloth right there. I have it paused. He's got a cloth. God, I hope that's not blood on that cloth. Oh my God, what if he has emphysema and he's coughing up blood? Oh, I'm sorry. Those were his fingers. Those were the tips of his fingers. That was not blood. Okay. That's what I was thinking. The same thing Kevin just said. He's like, well, the bear is hibernating. I'm like, yeah, he's hibernating with his ass pointing on that bench. Now he's just kind of sitting there checking out that prune juice, make sure he's got the right one. So, of course, as Pops is checking out his prune juice, Chuck is like, hey, Pops, can you kick it back to us? Pops is not even paying attention. I'm like, at that point, Chuck, you may as well just go up there and get the fucking ball, because he ain't moving from that bench. And any half-hearted attempt at a kick is just going to result in it, like, moving, like, maybe 12 inches away from his foot. And the amount of time that he's like, Pops, kick it back. Pops, kick it back. He could have went up there, taken it, and kicked it himself. So Chuck just throws his hands up, exasperated, turns to his team like, hey, anyone got another ball? Just, see, Kevin knows. Kevin's like, fuck this. I'll get the damn ball myself. And he's just wearing regular socks. He's not wearing shin guards or anything. I mean, half the kids are playing, they're not playing in uniforms, they're just playing in, like, whatever they came from class in. Yeah, Kevin goes over there and kind of asks, like, hey, how we playing? He's like, ah, you're playing good, you're good. And Kevin's like, well, hey, what about our prospects for this season? He's like, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. Where's my cushion? He actually gets his ass up off the bench looking for his cushion. Kevin, don't ask for too much input. You're pretty much dealing with a geriatric senior citizen. All he's going to do is watch you play, and barely that. I'm going to play the clip of the interaction between them. It's just funny.
Well, think of it this way. Maybe the bear was hibernating.
Pops? Pops? Kick it back? Pops? Got another ball.
It just didn't add up. What was with this guy?
So, how are we doing?
Fine.
Well, what do you think about our prospects for the season?
Terrific. Where's my cushion? Oh, I left it somewhere.
At least one thing seemed clear. When it came to coaching, this coach couldn't care less. Of course, maybe there was a reason for that. Take Nick Bott, for example, the most uncoordinated kid I ever met. Not to mention the biggest Star Trek fan. And Andy Collin. I never saw a lazier kid. And who could forget Chuck Coleman, Mr. Fidget? The kid meant well enough, but he elevated annoying to an art form. And Lee Fitzpatrick. Sweet guy, but a bundle of nerves. All in all, we were a team that could most charitably be described as...
What the hell was that?
You need some help there?
Nope. Everything's under control.
So pretty much Kevin estimates that, yes, the bear does not care, hey, that rhymed, about the soccer team. He's just there, wait until he can pretty much just collect Social Security. So Kevin kind of lets us know, like, the members of the team, how bad they are. Nick, who is played by Bryce Beckham, Wesley is really uncoordinated as he goes for the ball, trips, looks up at Kevin, smiles, and does the Star Trek hand thingamajig gesture, I guess. Then there's a heavyset boy who's got a banana hanging from his mouth, who's just sitting there as the ball just bashes in the side of his skull, and he has no cares whatsoever. Oh, basically, okay, Nick Bott is his name. Actually, some kid just kind of plowed into him from the side, knocking him down. He didn't just magically fall by stumbling over his own feet or anything. Andy Collin is the overweight boy who actually he's trying to tie his shoes with a banana hanging from his mouth, and he gets clocked with that soccer ball. Practically, that would hurt. Remember I told you I got hit in the back of the head with a soccer ball? And it's not like it was a deflated one. It was a, oh my, it hurt. I didn't want to go back in. So of course we got, you know, Chuck over there with the doing the hit me. You know, the chest bump, like boom, hit me, come on, hit me. And he's twitching with the eye twitches. And then someone does like hit him in the chest with a soccer ball. Of course, Chuck's always chewing gum. He's always snapping the gum. That's what I hate about him. And it drives me nuts. But it's like, of course that gum is going to go down the wrong tube. I was like, bud, you want them to pop you in the chest with that ball. You better be ready to accept. I mean, soccer is all about, you know, reflexes and reactions and getting your eyes all over, you know, over the place, like you're constantly moving and all that stuff. You gotta be ready to, if the ball's coming to you, you be ready or you're getting clocked in the face. Oh, Kevin calls Chuck Mr. Fidget. He really is, because there's not a part of his body that isn't constantly moving. Lee Fitzpatrick is this boy's name, and he is wearing a blue t-shirt with a giant trout on the front of it, and he's your classic average-looking, rail-thin, knobby-knees kid. Sweetheart-looking of a boy. Love the smile. I wonder if he did anything else. I'm going to look. So, the heavyset boy who was tying his shoe and got clocked by the ball, he was actually in both Addams Family movies, the first one and Addams Family Values, as Lumpy Addams. I don't remember a Lumpy Addams in the Addams Family movies. Oh, he was in an episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as nerdy frat guy. He was in Saved by the Bell as Sylvester. He played in an episode of Doogie Howser, some movie called Airheads. Father and Scout, he played Nolan. That's a Bob Saget, Brian Bonsall film. He was in Apollo 13 as SIM Tech. That's it for him, but I want to look at the other kid. That was Ryan Hollihan. So Trenton Teagan played Andy, which is a tall gangly boy. And he's only been... Okay. Oh! Oh, he was in two different... Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so he's in soccer as... And then he's in the movie... Or he's in the episode Eclipse, which is towards the end of season 6. So he played Andy in that, and then he played Harlan Abramson. Oh, that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing his other episode. He was in Ghost Dad as student number 5. An episode of Normal Life. Oh, he was in Mr. He played a young Mr. Belvedere? Oh my god. In A Happy Guy's Christmas. Mr. Belvedere cast as Ebenezer Scrooge in a local community, blah, 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 blah. Season 6, episode 11. Okay. Maybe he put on a little weight towards the end. He was in an episode of New Lassie. Alright. This is hilarious! Andy kicks the ball. It sails over Pop's Bear's whatever's head, and he hit, as he's looking for his cushion, his seat cushion, he's like, what the hell is that? It's like, well, you are their soccer coach, are you not? You did, it's a soccer ball. This was funny. I love this actor, Paul Dooley. You are so funny. So Kevin kind of asks, like, hey, do you need some help? And the bear sits down, and he's like, ah, no, I'm fine. He's got his outdoor living magazine, and when he sits on that cushion, you hear it start to deflate a little bit. Oh, I was just looking on IMDb. It says boom mic visible for this episode. And one of the first scenes, when Kevin is on the bus with a soccer ball, the microphone is visible at the top of the frame. I didn't notice that. I might have to go back and look. Not right now, though. The boys are filing in. It looks like they're walking through where the locker room would be for the football boys, because we see one of the guys, football players, in his gear, minus a jersey, walking past around the corner. And the soccer guys are kind of like, hey, I think we did pretty good. So Kevin, in his mind, as they're walking in, he calls them dorks and everything. Ugh, dorks. And they're all kind of getting changed into other clothes, since they've been playing in their other ones, probably all gross and stinking and sweaty. And Nick turns to Kevin, kind of asks his input, like, hey, how do you think we're doing? Because in Nick's mind, I think the other kids' mind, is like, Kevin is the only one that really seems to have this down pat. Like, he seems to, like, really pick it up easily, like, he knows what he's doing and everything, and they're just kind of looking to him, like, Kevin's a shining star. He's going to lead us to victory. So Kevin at first kind of stumbles over, you know, what to say. Like, what do I say to these guys? They're clearly no good. I don't want to lie to them, but I don't want to be 100% honest and hurt their feelings. So he really just says, like, guys, I don't know. I mean, I'm new here. You guys have been on the team for a bit. But then he adds, he's like, doesn't it feel like something's missing? Like, something's off? Like, Kevin can sense, it's like the coach has no interest in actually coaching this team. I mean, they haven't played actual games with other teams yet either. So it's like, it's basically just a free-for-all, just kick the ball around and practice. There's no intent on playing future games with other people or anything like that, other teams or any of that. So Kevin actually brings up a really good point here. It's like, guys, we are playing soccer, correct? And they just look at him like, yeah, we're playing soccer. And he's like, well, don't you think maybe it's about time we actually start learning actual plays? Because, like I said, all they're doing is a free-for-all. They're just kicking the ball around with no real intent of anything. They're not learning. I have never seen one of them even try to kick a ball into a goal. Kevin's just looking at them as these boys are smiling and nodding. Like, they never even thought for a second, like, plays? Really? Chuck's like, what an awesome idea. Like, I've never thought. Plays, right? I'm like, right. And Kevin's just like, oh, God, these guys are hopeless. What did I get myself into? So Kevin, along with Nick and Chuck, decide to go and talk to Pops the Bear, and they want to learn some plays. I mean, think about it. How else do we see Kevin in that soccer uniform? I want to play the clip of Nick asking Kevin how he thinks that the team is doing and Kevin's suggestion and everything like that. So I'll play that through to them conversing with Bear here.
I think we are really getting good out there.
Yeah, we only kicked the ball over the fence 3 times today.
Dorks, goofballs, a coach who wouldn't coach. Somehow this whole thing wasn't working out the way I'd planned.
What do you think, Kev?
About what?
Well, about how things are going.
Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm new here, but doesn't it seem like something's missing?
Missing? Well, like what?
Well, I mean, we are playing soccer, right? So, maybe we should start learning some plays.
Of course, it was only a suggestion. Still?
Plays? Great idea!
It was like watching Edison invent the light bulb.
What can I do for you?
Well, we wanted to talk about learning some plays.
Plays?
Look, it's not that we don't appreciate what you've done for us so far. It's just that...
Plays?
Well, look, what about this playbook?
Well, those are plays.
Well, can we at least work from it?
I don't think that book's going to do you a lot of good.
Still, even Pops couldn't quell the tide of youth, enthusiasm, dorkdom.
But if you want to learn plays, suit yourself.
Terrific. Great. Thanks.
And there you had it.
Guys, we got plays.
Sure, it wasn't much, but it was a start. And who knew? Maybe with the right combination of coaching and raw talent, we'd actually make something of ourselves.
Okay, 17. 34. Set back. Okay, 24. Red right.
Or maybe, just maybe, it was going to be the longest season in recorded history.
So they go to Pops the Bear and ask, like, hey, do you think that maybe you could work on some plays? You know, this book here. And Chuck picks it up, like, can we learn, you know, work out through this book? And Pops was like, I don't think that book is really going to help you. And it doesn't dawn on me till later when Kevin comes down the field and kind of watches this whole thing of being, you know, everyone's being set up. You know, Chuck's kind of ordering people like you here, 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 here. You look at it from the back. I can see why Pop said that book isn't going to be of any real use to you. There's a reason. It's a football playbook. He's got everyone, and he's saying, like, you down, hike the ball to me between your legs, like a football setup would be. So the kid hikes it between his legs to Chuck. Chuck takes, kicks it, and everyone rushes forward screaming. Yeah, that would, don't ever do that if you end up eventually playing an opposing team, because they will laugh you the fuck out of that field. Kevin just looks at this like, this is hopeless. Oh my god. So in the next scene, everyone's on the field and they're doing calisthenics and jumping jacks. Like, jumping jacks, probably sit-ups, pull-ups, push-ups. Well, not pull-ups, but all these kids are wearing different things. Some kids are even wearing, like, a button-up shirt that they probably wore to class. It's like, no, guys, if you're going to play football, I mean, turtleneck, just wear a t-shirt and shorts. Kevin and, you know, what's his face over there? I forgot his name. The heavy one. Are on the right track. They're wearing, like, McKinley Fizz Ed shirt. Oh, my God, that poor boy's pits. I hope he's wearing deodorant. This one boy has, like, curly, floppy hair, and I'm thinking, use a headband or something to, like, because that's why some of the guys with the soccer, like, have the headbands, or they have their hair, like, pulled back. Because you can't have, I mean, the guy doesn't have flowing, long locks, but it's curly, a curly mop, and it can easily, like, fall in your eyes and distract you, and then you end up getting the ball taken away from you. I see a home and visitors sign there, too. So, looks like, I mean, they're slowly on the right track. They'll get there. So, they're all doing jumping jacks, and Kevin's like, maybe Pops will pay attention. No, Pops is taking a nooner nap. He is taking an afternoon snooze. Wow, that guy can sleep anywhere. It takes me forever to fall asleep, and that's after I take my sleep aid, which I've been taking for years, and I think that my body is almost immune to it now, which really sucks. So, the boys are all defeated. They're hanging out in the locker room, and Nick, of course, I'm like, at first, I'm like, what the fuck is that loud-ass banging? That would make my ears bleed. He's banging a soccer ball repeatedly against one of those locker doors. I'm like, boy, stop it. I'll rip your glasses off your face. And poor Chuck is sitting across from this, and it looks like he's having a seizure. He's shaking so much. So Kevin clearly sees this whole thing with the playbook, it's not working. The coach doesn't care. He doesn't want to coach another team. That's probably why he's, like, happy with them just kicking the ball around. He doesn't have any real responsibility. All he has to do is sit there and supervise. And half the time, he's sleeping. So the coach is kind of walking down memory lane. He's checking out the trophy case, and Kevin kind of stops him in the hallway, and they have a little conversation. Kevin wants to know, what is the deal here? You know, I came to play soccer. I want to be on a team. You have zero investment in actually coaching this team. I don't see why Kevin couldn't be like a student coach and say, I know you guys aren't that great, but let me look at actual soccer plays and see if we can't, like, work something out. Like, how, I mean, he had the right idea in a way to, like, take the underdogs of the phys ed soccer team, even though they weren't the greatest in everything. The gumption, like, what he wanted to do, his heart was in the right place and everything. And I think that Kevin would be really good at giving direction. Granted, he'd be aggressive at it, but I think he'd do a good job. Kevin wants right now is to be part of a team. A team that will actually go places and take him places and maybe get his picture in that trophy case. I think that's what he really wants deep down. He wants a team picture. He wants a trophy. He wants something that tells everyone in the world, look at me, I'm Kevin Arnold. I was on a soccer team. We might not have been the best, but we at least got something. So Kevin, of course, says, hey, I want to talk to you about the team, you know, soccer, and, you know, the fact that you're a mediocre coach, if that. And Kevin says, we got a game in a couple days. Are you fucking shitting me? A game? You're playing an actual game against other actual soccer players that can call themselves soccer players? This is insane! How did they go this long without playing a game before? Oh my god, they're not even close to being ready. They're gonna get slaughtered out there. I feel so bad. I feel bad for all of them. And that lackluster excuse for a coach. Jack could do a better job than this man. I bet he could. Kevin could. Anybody could. Cutlip could, although he's not teaching there anymore. He went to Indiana to teach phys ed somewhere else. So Pops the Bear is like, you know, it's going to be messy. It's going to be not good. And Kevin's like, we still have time for a little practice. I mean, so we can at least be respectable. And Pops just looks at him with an arched eyebrow like, and he's just like, I wouldn't count on it, buddy. And he just walks away. It's like, Clary thinks, Kevin, you are wasting your time here. I've been doing this for years. This soccer team is crap. I know it. The kids know this. It's he's used to it. It's like they're not going to be good. I just show up. I get my paycheck. I really don't care in putting in effort to actually coaching a team. I want to know what happened that he got let go from that football thing, or whether he just walked away from it. So Kevin's not just going to take this, like, and let him, the coach, walk away without an explanation as to why are you like this? This team could be really good if you gave it half a chance. These guys are somewhat promising. If you work with them, we could mold them into amazing soccer players. So I'm going to play this clip.
There was only one thing to do.
Pops, can I talk to you?
About what?
What about the team? The soccer team. You see, our first game's coming up in a few days, and...
How to put this tactfully?
Not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
It's going to be a massacre.
Mm-hmm. But we still have time, don't we? I mean, with a little practice, we could at least be respectable. Don't you think?
Figured the least he could do here was throw me a bone.
I wouldn't count on it.
Not exactly your basic ringing endorsement.
Wait a minute. I don't get it. My dad told me you used to be this great coach. The Bear, they called you. You won 6 conference titles in a row.
He told you that?
Yeah.
He tell you about that 57 team? Great bunch of boys.
And for just a second, I actually saw a spark of real enthusiasm in the guy.
Ah, but that was then. My coaching days are over now.
Why?
They didn't want me. Got a younger man. Put me out to pasture until this.
I did my best not to take it personally.
Yeah, but Pops, we're a team. And we need a coach.
There. A cry from the heart. Something even Pops couldn't deny.
1 year away from my pension, and they saddle me with this. Soccer.
Okay, so basically what happened, he didn't walk away. They chose somebody who was younger to take over. Even though this guy won 6 championships... Back to back. And he starts kind of talking about, you know, this great team of boys that he had in 57. And they just pulled the rug out from under him and said, hey, you know, we're going with someone else. And Pop says, they saddle me with this soccer team. Till, you know, I'm 1 year away from getting my pension. So he's just riding it out. And the thing that I'm thinking about, I remember, I could have sworn that, when does soccer actually take place? Isn't that a springtime thing? Because I thought, in the fall, that's football. In the spring, you have baseball. Where does soccer fit into this? But now... You know, I like how Kevin kind of reminds him of his glory days, because he's like, my dad said you were the Bear and all this, and you did this, these amazing great things, and here you are, a schlub of a man. What happened? And, you know, Pops just explains to him, it's like, basically now I'm riding out this year till I get my pension. That's it. I'm not a coach anymore. And all that. And he just walks away. And now we flash. Now we're on game day. These are such beautiful, long, polo-type sleeve. They're like a navy blue. Or are they black? Black and white striped. They're really nice. I really like them. The team jerseys are really awesome. Now, I remember when we got our jerseys for soccer, and we actually got to pick our number. And, of course, since I love even numbers, even back when I was 14, I picked number 6. And what do you know? What number is Kevin wearing? Number 6. Way to go. Oh! Twinsies! Twinsies! So the team is pumped. Even Chuck is like, you know what? I bet we're going to do great today. We are going to do so awesome today. And they're all chanting, go, 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 yeah, 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 rah, rah, rah. They're so excited. They're so excited. Until they see who their opponents are. Oh. Yeah, these guys are humongous. They look like a college-age team. This one guy's leg muscles are so buff. Oh my god. But they're wearing like the typical, the shin guards, they're wearing the cleats. They're wearing the soccer shorts and the jerseys and all of that. And they even got a trainer out there too. These guys are the soccer team that puts Kevin and his ragtag bunch to shame. Because these guys are the real deal. Oh, and here's the soccer head butting. They're doing it back and forth. A couple guys are like butting the soccer ball with their heads, you know, back to each other. Oh my god, this guy does a flip where he kicks the football in the air from behind to make it land in the goal. They're going to get slaughtered. They are going to get slaughtered. Oh, I'm so nervous for them. So, of course, Nick is hoping that it'll rain. Well, maybe it will. Looks pretty sunny out there to me. So we get the song Get Up. We get the song Get Up Off of That Thing by James Brown. So we get to see the opposing team playing Kevin's ragtag bunch. And let me tell you, they easily pass these guys by a mile. Just, you know, their information, they know how to pass the ball to each other and this and that. And they're like gliding past these guys with no real issue. Chuck falls on his butt, of course. Falls flat on his face, excuse me, as he's coughing out blades of grass. Even Kevin falls. These guys are like gliding through them like they're statues. They are that. And this net is so wide. I can't see this guy being able to defend this net like at all. And they easily, the opposing team pops in a goal. I mean, I can't see the boys. I mean, it's not like they're not trying or anything. They're trying. And Kevin even says, it's like, that afternoon we did. We gave it all we had. It's like, with what little practice that they had, they did only the best that they could. And that's really, I guess, all you can ask for them. I mean, that really, you can see the difference between a team that just is not practiced at all. All they do is kick the ball around versus a team that probably has like 4 times a week practice and then a game on Saturday and Sunday or something like that. They are these guys, and you can tell you got Mr. Bony Legs and then you got Mr. Muscles Calves that you can tell the soccer thighs. One's got the soccer thighs, the other one's got like bony knobby knees. So we see the ball like going constantly into that net. They need to switch it up and put someone else in that goal. Even if they don't really have it, the practice, get somebody else in there. They can see that they're suffering, whether or not it would even make a difference to put another person in there, but this is crazy. I think the net is way too big, like bigger than what your average soccer goals like post things. Like it stretches literally the length of one side of the field to the other. No wonder he can't defend it. That is way wide open. But then again, he is standing so close to the back. He's like inside the goal. Shouldn't you be like just barely like to the front of it, like where the post is? I'm not sure the length of amount of space that you're supposed to, you have designated area and everything. Like, because if you're way, way back, like, to the back of the goal, you may as well just be giving. He's basically giving up all those shots. Like, oh, I'm trying to defend it, but I'm way back here. That you could just, by touching the net at all, you're scoring. Yes, get someone else in that goal. That kid is now cowering like a little, like, kicked puppy. That is a terrible analogy, guys. I am sorry. He is cowering like Casper the Friendly Ghost. If somebody, like, started teasing him. I don't know. Guys, he's not good. Get someone else in there. 0-6? Well, I mean, that's not expected. You know, they weren't that great anyway. Okay, they did put Nick in there. As Nick is trying to put on the one boy's, the goalie's jersey, someone slams a goal in there, a soccer ball in there, and makes a goal. As Nick falls over while he's trying to get that shirt on. Buddy, maybe you should have tried to get the shirt on as you were running to the goal. They should have had a timeout as they're switching goalies. Not just, here, let's go in as we're still playing. Okay, they are trying different people in the goalie. They had the one boy, then they had Nick, now they got Chuck in there. Okay, ducking as the ball comes at your face. That is a great way to not be able to be a goalie. When they... Guys, I'm not a soccer expert. I told you, I played for one season, and I was not the greatest. I did not, in fact, score a goal ever. Of course, I wasn't a... scorer. I was probably like a defender or something. Alright, we got Kevin. He is in there and he's trying. He's giving his damned all. So they're leaping to block the ball and the ball is just going over their head. So all the guys get a try in the goalie thing. Now the score is 11-0. Oh, I would have forfeited at that time. Like, forget it. So yeah, the final score was 11-0. And the guys are all hanging out in the locker room. They're defeated. Of course they are. You're not good. You tried. Guys, I'll give you that much. You tried. It's not like you just stood there like statues. So everyone's pretty much going around saying how much they suck. We're terrible. Kevin's like, we're getting our noses rubbed in this game. And he's like, we need a little pep talk. The coach comes over, just looks at the group, and then just like gives up and walk away. I don't even think he was even going to say anything. Oh, this is like the halftime almost. I thought the game was over with. I guess it's not. Because now they're saying, I don't want to go back out there. All right, let's hear Kevin's speech. He's going to like say something to the team. Maybe it'll be positive. Maybe he'll tell them, you all suck, but we got to suck it up and get back out there. And be the best that we can be, even if we suck.
And suddenly I was seeing red.
Guys, I got something to say.
If Pops wouldn't step forward, I would.
Look, we might not be the best soccer team that ever played. In fact, we might not even be very good. Or any good. At all.
Possibly I was on a bad tack here.
So I say let's forget about what's happened so far, and let's start thinking about what might happen. Okay? Let's go!
And as I ran out of that locker room, I had just one thought. I only hoped someone was following me.
Now, it wasn't the greatest pep talk in the world. You know, he just basically wants everyone to give it their all. And that's all he can really expect from his teammates. That they may not know the game completely, but they know the basics. You kick the ball into a net. Score a goal. Keep the other team from getting the ball. Stuff like that. So Kevin's out there by himself. And he's like, you know what? If I gotta face these guys by myself, I'm going to. But I'm going to be out here playing with my entire heart. And Kevin's standing there thinking, well, I'm just going to be out here by myself, I guess. And we hear Chuck saying, hey, wait up, we're coming. And we see this guy kind of hanging out by the sign. He's the guy kind of putting up the scores and stuff. And we see all the numbers, like, I think that's a 7, 8, 5, 9, and whatever other that number is. So they got possession of the ball, and they're kicking it. And the gangly boy with the knees kicks it high. It lands in the goal. Woo! It's good. It's so good. Yes! I'm so excited. They're probably not going to win, but still. They got it in the goal. I apologize if anyone's lost their hearing over my shrieking. But guys, I was so excited. I'm a cuckoo. So they all hug whatever that guy's name is. Andy, I think his name is Andy. They all give him a big old hug. Like, yeah, we may lose this game, but we scored a goal. That's all that matters. Come on, they knew they were going to lose, right? That was a 1 in a million lucky shot that went into the goal. It hit so high. Well, I guess they celebrated too early. Because I look at the score. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? It's now 12-0? They kicked it in the wrong fucking goal! No wonder, because there was nobody guarding that goalie area. Oh my god. Well, that was short-lived. Now I feel bad for celebrating. Crap. Alright, the team is finally going to turn on each other. Because what else are you going to do? It was an amazing kick, but unfortunately it was kicked into the wrong goal. Here's a clip.
Unfortunately, we'd kicked the ball into the wrong net.
I don't believe it. You scored on our goal, bozo.
Don't call me bozo, spot brain.
Hey, listen, would you jerks just break it up?
Who you call a jerk?
This is ridiculous. Who needs this?
Look, you guys,
I don't
just
need
calm
this.
Down. Yeah.
Just shut up.
We completely fell apart. It was like Lord of the Flies.
Just shut up.
Listen, you're so...
And that's when it happened.
Look!
Pops was heading towards us to say it was over. That we had no hope of winning. That it was time to hang it up.
Kick it that way.
I don't know what it was that touched him. Maybe it was the way we stuck together. Maybe it was the way we were tearing apart. In that brief instant, Pops McIntyre became a coach again. And we were finally a team.
Come on, guys. Let's lose one for Pops.
So, as you heard, the kids get into a big old jumble rumble and shouting insults, and Kevin's trying to break it up, and they're all in this mismatched, like, tackle huddle, push each other. Coach Pops actually comes off the bleachers. I didn't even know there were other people even sitting on those bleachers. They're clearly there to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even talk today. Cheering on the opposing team. And coach comes over to them and they get up, they stand at attention, waiting to hear Pop's wise words. And he just looks at them, angles his thumb, says, "Kick it that way." And he turns around and goes and sits back down. Wise words from Pops the Bear. And Kevin looks at his teammates. He's like, "Let's lose one for Bear. Let's lose one for Pops." And just like that, we hear a rumble on the horizon. And Kevin holds out his hand. Drops are starting to fall. Sun goes bye-bye. Clouds come in. So they're going to play some soccer in the rain and they are going to get muddy. All right, I want to play adult Kevin's little closure on the episode here as he talks about, of course they lost that day because they were going to. And he just says basically how they're just like any other team across America, the ragtag bunch of losers that can't play. Here's the clip.
Sure, we lost that day, but it was a glorious defeat. After all,
All over America, there were teams like ours. Teams that marched bravely into slaughter. Teams that went 0-15 and kept on losing. And kept on trying. Not for the league titles or the silver-plated victory cups, but just for the joy of playing together. The thing is, I'll never forget those guys. Even if they were dorks.
So yeah, those boys played their hearts out. They played in the... Where were those other players? They weren't even on the field! They're just playing themselves! So yeah, they played, they get money, it's rainy, it's... I'm just looking at them, it's so gross. I'm like, I hope they didn't have to drive far away, or maybe they're just... I think maybe they were just playing, like, at their field. I'm like, I would go home. The first thing I do is strip my clothes off and say, I am jumping in the shower. I feel so gross. Oh, my God. I don't think they got to be on a... Oh, gross. What if they got to be on a bus? Ugh, squishy, squishy shorts. Ew, just, like, drenched and just... Ugh. Okay, that's the end of the episode. Kevin just said, I will never forget these guys, the games that we lost, the guys, even though they were dorks, they were still, yeah. That's his team. I thought at the end they were going to get like a team picture like to put in the trophy case, but of course, I guess you don't get teams pictures when you don't win. But, like I said, that's the end of the episode. As far as the Flower Power episode rating, I'm going to give this one... Let's give it a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5. I want to get... the first one is going to be for Kevin trying the football team. He gets knocked out. He's cut. Then, at the dinner scene, Jack mentions the whole thing with the bear... Pops the Bear, whatever his last name is, about him. And just at the end, just Kevin and the team just playing together in the mud. And just, it was cool. I knocked 2 off just because, I don't know, it was a good episode, but it's just like, it was kind of lacking in some areas. And the other one, just because, they kicked the ball in the wrong goal. I was sad about that. I cheered. Like you said, guys, I have not seen these episodes in years, so a lot of these, I don't know the outcome. So, of course, I cheered thinking that they scored at least 1 goal. I was excited, and then I was let down and devastatedly hurt when I found out that it was for the opposing team, which, why am I surprised? Because they're just not that good that they would get it into the wrong goal. Of course they would. Wonderling words of wisdom. Just, when you go out for teams, just do the best that you can. Even if it's not the greatest, just know that you play with your whole heart. And just lean on your teammates. Those are people that, you know, you work together as a team. As I say, there's no I in team. And just chalk it up to, even if it's a bad, you know, soccer experience, it's still an experience that you can share when you're hosting a podcast like me. Let's talk about next week's episode. Season 5, episode 8 next week is called Dinner Out. This episode aired on December 4th, 1991. So we're like 21 days away till Christmas in 1991. For Jack's 43rd birthday, hey, Jeremy's going to be 43 next month in May. Norma decides to try and repair his relationship with Karen by having them meet at a restaurant. Her plan begins to backfire when Jack continues to begrudge Karen's live-in boyfriend, Michael. Guys, we have not seen Karen since towards the end of season 4 when we first found out she was living with Michael. And we knew eventually Jack and Karen are going to be put together again, and this issue is going to come back up. Because if we don't have this, we don't have a wedding at the end of season 5. We don't have Karen and Michael getting married. And this is basically the step before. This is the conflict before the final resolution at the end of season 5. I feel bad. I really feel bad that, you know, Karen and Jack's relationship has always been kind of tumultuous. It's always been really, really rocky. They've always been at odds with each other on social issues and other issues, and just Karen's on her own. She's living with a man who's not her husband, and Jack and Norma see that as, that's not how we raised you to live. We raise you that you date a man, you marry a man, then you live together. You don't live in sin. So, Jack's already, I don't think he's too happy about, you know, his birthday is his birthday at that point to him. And Norma, like she, the description says, thinks it's a great time to try to patch things up between Jack and Karen. If you guys look at, remember Roseanne? Roseanne's, you know, the reboot, not the reboot. Remember Roseanne when it aired, the whole thing with Becky running off and getting married? Becky, the older daughter of Dan and Roseanne? She got married at 17. And then that caused a rift between Dan and Becky that lasted quite a while, where he didn't talk to her. He always was gone when she called, so that way he didn't have to speak to her. Eventually they did mend fences. They took care of that. So, yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, if you could even compare their relationship to Jack and Karen's. They're both different times. Roseanne was set in the 80s with a blue-collar family. Wonder Years is set in late 60s. So the values are a little different. But anyway, that being said, guys, look forward to dinner out next week. Also, after that, you know, we already did Christmas Party in December, so the episode after that is going to be Pfeiffer's Choice. So that will be coming not next week, but the week after. And this, of course, we bring back the Pfeiffer family. We really haven't seen Paul too much this season. But then again, he's in prep school, so maybe we'll get to hear how that's going for him. So that'll be, well, the thing is with this, it's called either Pfeiffer's Choice or Pfeiffer's Fortune with a P, which we'll get into that when we get into that episode, because the booklet, the Wonder Years booklet does have stuff, the creators have something to say about how that's done and everything like that. Another thing on the horizon with summer coming up, I already told you at the beginning of the episode about Summer of Savage, which is the 4 Fred Savage movies I'll be doing. Also in June, I'm going to be doing the Wonder Years Jobs Edition, where we have The Cost of Living from season 4, where Kevin gets a job as a caddy. We also have season 5, episode 2, is it episode 3? Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. We have The Hardware Store, which is season 5, episode 3, where, fed up with a low pay at his first regular job, Kevin decides to try for a job at the mall where he can meet girls. He demands a pay raise, not expecting to get it. When he does, he quits anyway. This is where Kevin works for that older gentleman at the hardware store and absolutely hates it. So we're doing Cost of Living from season 4, The Hardware Store from season 5. We're also doing the Season 5 finale, Broken Hearts and Burgers, which is also a Jobs episode. And we're going to close out that with the, on September 21st, or, bleh, god damn, I can't, with the first day of summer is June 21st. We'll be doing season 6, episode 21. Actually, that's funny. Because, hold on. I'm pretty sure 21st is the first day of summer. And this works out perfectly. Because it's called summer. It's season 6, episode 21. So, you know, June is the 6th month of the year. Works out great. So, we're going to complete with summer for the job. So that's going to be done. This one, after a fight with his dad, Kevin drives off to the summer resort where Winnie is working to get a job and try to make it on his own. Only Winnie does not seem all that happy to see him. So we're doing that one. And then July 4th, we are doing the series finale. That does not, guys, listen, that does not mean the podcast is over because I'll still be working on season 5. So we'll be doing that one. Because, like I said, remember I said July 4th, I'm doing the series finale. You guys, if you want to just, those that have seen the series, you know, if you want to listen to it, you know, or if you want to savor it and wait until I'm done with the series, you can do that too with the podcast. However you guys want to do it, it's totally up to you. But let's say hey to some new and regular Wonderling listeners. All right, we have some listeners. We got from Hudson, Wisconsin, Troy, Ohio, Chicago, Illinois, Germantown, Maryland, India, Bakersfield, California, Korea, New York, St. Petersburg, Florida, Chico, California, Fredericton, Canada, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Dauphin, Pennsylvania, Dublin, Ireland, Mountain View, California, Des Moines, Australia, Centerville, Maryland, Springtown, Texas, Medan, Indonesia, Casco, Maine, Mexico, Union, New Jersey, Germany, San Luis Potosi, Mexico, guys, I'm sorry if I'm butchering these. Ashburn, Virginia, Hurricane, West Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dubai, United Arab, Crawfordsville, Indiana, Center District, Hong Kong, North Kingstown, Rhode Island, Brazil, Raymond, Maine, Bangladesh, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Melbourne, Australia, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Germany, Houston, Texas, North Reading, Maine, and Montreal, Canada. Oh, actually, we got some more here. Queenstown, Maryland, Los Angeles, California, Granada Hills, California, Dearborn, Michigan, Lumberton, New Jersey, Fremont, California, Derry, United Kingdom, Ruther Glen, Virginia. All right, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I will be back probably even later this afternoon with season 2, episode 1 of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere's Mr. Belvedere podcast. I'm doing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That is an extra George episode, since I feel that the vows more seem to be, even though it was George and Marcia centered, it was really focused heavily on Kevin and his whole issue. So that's why I'm doing an extra George episode to kind of make up for that. If you guys want to connect to the podcast, there are many ways to do it. You can like me on Instagram, like the podcast, and you can also go to the Facebook, Looking Back at My Wonder Years, the Wonder Years podcast. If you guys would like to even reach out to me even more personally, you can go to the LBOM Wonder Years podcast at gmail.com and email me there. If you listen to this on SoundCloud, you can get the links for the Facebook page and the Instagram page, as well as also, if you guys really love this podcast, if you go to iTunes and subscribe so you don't miss an episode, you can even follow me on SoundCloud. If you have time, go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review or just the what you feel is the best. And just that way, this podcast does get more ratings and we can get the podcast out there and featured more. So I am going to be reviewing the movie No One Would Tell for the 100th Wonder Years podcast. Even though it's not the 100 Wonder Years podcast episodes, because I've added others, but it's the 100th episode that I've put out. So, all right, guys. Enjoy this beautiful day. I will be back later with the Mr. Belvedere episode. So, have fun. Get out in the sunshine. Get some sun. Get some nice fresh air. Bye-bye.